Good morning, everyone, once again. It is really a privilege to preach in the very first Sabbath of the year. Amen? I would like to welcome all of you that came to listen to this message this morning, which is entitled, "And in their mouth was found no guile." We are going to study about the characteristics of the remnant church this morning, so we can know what kind of experience they have in their lives, so we can implement in our lives, so we can be part of the remnant church. Does it make sense to you? Okay. And let me ask a question before I go any farther. Do you like to study the Bible?
Yes.
Are you sure you like to study the Bible?
Yes.
Because I don't want to preach by myself. I want you to study the Bible with me this morning. So the first thing I want you to have in your hands, if you like to study the Bible, a Bible. Okay, so take your Bibles, and I want you to turn to the book of Zephaniah chapter 3 and verse 13. Zephaniah chapter 3 and verse 13. There in Zephaniah 13, we are going to see the remnant church of God, but let me break down this term for you, the remnant church of God. I will cover things that most of you already know, but just for the sake of unity, I want to make a review. So you will hear things that you know already, so just be patient. So the remnant church of God, the word remnant means the leftover, right? The remaining church of God. And when we talk about church, we know we are not talking about a building or the system. We are talking about people, right? So we are talking about the Adventist movement, what is left of the remnant of God's people in the last days. So we want to see their characteristics, and then we want to ask God to work in us to will and to do of His good pleasure, which is the very characteristic that the remnant church have. So in Zephaniah 3 and verse 13, the Bible says there, the remnant of Israel. And please don't get caught up on the word Israel. We know in the New Testament, Israel is those that are circumcised in the heart, right? The Jew of the New Testament, they are not literal Jews, but they are circumcised in the heart. So the remnant of Israel is talking about the remnant of God's people. And the verse goes on to say, shall not do, what is the next word there? Iniquity, that's number one, characteristic number one. Nor speak lies, number two. Neither shall a deceitful tongue be found in their mouth. Let's stop right here. Out of three characteristics of the remnant church, two of them is dealing with the mouth. Do you see that?
Yeah.
Okay. So with that in mind, keep this verse in the back of your mind. I want you to turn to the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 14. And let's compete against the time so we can cover much ground. Revelation chapter 14. You will see the very same group there. The remnant of Israel. In Revelation 14 and verse 5, it says there, and in their mouth was found no what? Guile or deception, lies. For they are without fault or no iniquity before the throne of God. So how do we know is it referring to the same group of people? What do you think? It's the very same characteristic, right? So it's dealing with no fault, no iniquity, and no guile, no deceitful tongue. And let's be more specific. Who is this remnant church? Let's put a name in this remnant church, the leftover of the Adventist movement. Come with me to verse 1 in the very same chapter, Revelation 14, and verse 1, it says there, and I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on the Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his father's name written in their foreheads. So it's describing the 144,000. They are the remnant church. They are the leftover of God's people in the last days. But before you get caught up in the number, that's not what I'm focusing this morning. Whether the number is literal or symbolic, I'm not focusing that on this morning. My focus is in their experience, their characteristics, which is no guile in their mouth, no iniquity, no deceitful tongue, right? It gives five characteristics, and if you notice, three of them is dealing with the mouth. Does it make sense? Yes? So far, so good. Are we on the same page? Good. Amen. Okay, so with that in mind, I want you to notice that in the Bible, in these two verses, it connects the mouth with victory over sin. Did you just notice that? No fault, no guile, victory over sin, and with the mouth. And again, in Zephaniah, it says, no deceitful tongue, no iniquity. Why is it that victory over sin is connected with your mouth? It's dealing with your mouth. Come to the book of James. James chapter 3. James is after Hebrews and before 1 Peter. James chapter 3 and verse 2. James chapter 3 and verse 2, the Bible says there, verse 2, for in many things we offended all. If any man offend not in word, the same is what kind of man? A perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Did you just catch this? If you are able to control your mouth, your words, if you offend not in words, you are able to control how much of your body? Your whole body. Therefore, your mouth, when the Bible speaks about the mouth, is dealing also with self-control. Do you see where I'm going? And the Bible says that if you are able to control your mouth, you are what kind of man? A perfect man. Again, the Bible connects victory over sin with your mouth. And usually when we talk about no guile in their mouth, no deceitful tongue, the first thing that comes to our minds is a person that tells lies. And that is true. That is true. I agree with you. The 144,000 remnant church, they will not go around telling lies. They will not go around deceiving people. That is true. But I have a question for you. Is it possible? Listen carefully. Is it possible a person that always tells the truth have a deceitful tongue? What do you think? Yes? No? Is it possible a person that always tells the truth have a deceitful tongue? Let's see what the Bible has to say and see if it agrees with you. Some of you said yes. Turn to James chapter 3. Still in James chapter 3. And I want to begin in verse 8. We are going to try to answer this question. If it is possible, a person that always tells the truth have guile in their mouth. In verse 8, the Bible says, but the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. Stop right here for now. This verse gives us no hope so far. Because it says that, you know, you can do anything about it. This verse says that you and I are in trouble. But we know that what is impossible for man is possible for who? For God. So therefore, we need God, right? We cannot overcome our, you know, our unruly tongues, but we can ask God to help us. So there is hope in the Bible. The next verse, verse 9, it says, therewith, with the tongue, bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Stop right here. When the Bible says that with our tongues we bless men, what is it talking about? We bless God. Let's start on that one first. When the Bible said that with our tongue we bless God, what is it talking about? Prayer, right? Worship, singing hymns, perhaps giving a Bible studies, giving testimonies, telling people about Jesus. So with our tongue, we bless God. And then the Bible goes on to say that with the very same tongue, what do we do with our fellow men? We curse him. When the Bible said that we curse our fellow men, what is it referring to? Gossip and evil speaking, right? So the Bible says that this is happening with the mouth of the mouth that deceives, right? And the next verse, verse 10. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. And then we will explain why this thing is not to be like that. Next verse. Let's study the Bible together. I have a question for you. In the next verse, has a question for you, and I want you to answer that question. Does a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? What is the answer for this question? Did Paul just change the topic? Excuse me. James, did he just change the topic? You know, I was talking about the tongue, but now let's talk about fountains of water. Do you think he changed the topic? No. You will see where he's going. He says, is it possible, my friends, for a fountain of water to spring forth sweet water and at the same time bitter water? And the answer for this question is what? No, it's not possible. Now, the next verse is another question. I want you to answer this question. Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries? What is the answer for this question? No, right? When you go to the fig tree, what do you expect to harvest? Figs, right? Not berries, olive berries. Continuing, either a vine figs, is it possible? No. So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. Let's put all together. What is James trying to tell us? Imagine a person. A person that professes to be a sweet fountain of water. And you know that that water is talking about your words. He professed to be a fresh fountain of water. And here comes a thirsty person wanting to drink that water. And then he just, to make sure that was a fresh water, he takes just a little bit of that water. And then he drinks and he says, wow, this is fresh water. And then he takes his water bottle and dip into the fountain and takes much more water to drink. And then as he's drinking, he notices that it is salty water. And then he gets confused. Wait a minute. I tried this fountain and it was sweet. But now it's salty. What kind of fountain is it? And then he tries again. It is fresh water again. And then he tries again. It is salty water. And he gets confused and he says, you know what? I don't want to drink of this fountain anymore. That's it of this fountain. It's confusing. So it is with those that profess to be a fountain of sweet waters, fresh water. And then people try them and say, wow, this is really a blessing, this brother. And then later on, he is cursing, speaking evil, and gossiping concerning his fellow men. And then that person, that fellow that tried your water, said, wow, bitter water coming out of his mouth. And he get confused. What kind of fountain is this? If this is a Christian fountain, I don't want this fountain. I don't want to drink of this fountain anymore. That's why Paul says this is not supposed to be like that. Okay, the verse continues. Let's study the Bible together. James chapter 3. He continues in the same topic. He did not change topic. And in verse 13. And let me explain to you before we read. In verse 13 and the rest of the chapter will contrast, listen carefully, will contrast two types of wisdom. The wisdom that comes from above and the wisdom that comes from this earth. Okay? So in verse 13, the Bible says, who is a wise man endued with knowledge among you? In other words, who is wise among you? And goes on to say, let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. So a wise man, the one that received wisdom from above, he shows that he is wise because of his good conversation, which is full of meekness. Are you following? Okay. Now what is the very next word? But. You know what that word means? Contrast. We talked about the wisdom that comes from above. But he's going to talk about other type of wisdom. The verse goes on to say, but if ye have bitter envy, and stop right here. Do you see that word bitter? Where did you see that word before? In the water, right? Okay, so it's describing the ones that have bitter waters here. But if ye have bitter envy and, what is the next word? Strive in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. Did you see this word, lie not against the truth? It's talking about a person that is always causing strife, unnecessarily debate, evil speaking, envy, and the Bible says, glory not. Don't be happy. Don't rejoice. Don't think that everything is all right with you. Lie not against the truth. What does it mean to lie against the truth? Who is the truth, after all? Jesus is the truth. So, as he's professing to be something, when he is not, he is doing what? Lying. Perhaps, listen carefully, perhaps the evil speaking that he cursed his brother was true. I mean, he didn't lie. Don't get me wrong. He told the truth, perhaps. Perhaps the gospel was all truth, 100%. It's very hard to gospel and get 100% truth, you know, but perhaps it was. In other words, he does not lie with his words, but yet guile is found in his mouth. Because he is lying against the truth. Do you see that? But the 144,000, the Bible says that they have no guile in their mouth. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. No guile in their hearts, no guile in their, no guile in their mouth, no guile in their hearts. I want you to turn your Bibles really quick. Keep your fingers here in chapter 3 and go to chapter 1 of James. Chapter 1 and verse 26. Notice what the Bible says there, dealing with deception. In verse 26, it says, if any man among you seem to be religious, do we seem to be religious today? Yes or no? Oh, yes, we are all in church, right? So it's talking about us. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridles not his tongue, but what? Deceive his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Yes, he's striving and telling the truth, but it says, listen, you're not able to control your mouth. Your religion is vain. You are deceiving yourself. You are deceiving yourself. You need help. You need a savior, amen? Okay, back to James chapter 3. Let's continue to talk about the two wisdoms. James chapter 3, and let's pick up in verse 15. This wisdom, stop right here. We are studying the Bible, so what is it referring to? When the Bible says this wisdom, which wisdom? The one that it calls strife and envy and bitter, right? Okay. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but it is earthly, sensual, and devilish. In other words, proceeds from the devil. I want to read a few quotations to you over here. Verse 16. Let's read verse 16 as well. For where envy and strife is, there is, what is the next word? Confusion. Remember that analogy that I gave to you? A person trying to drink water, and then every time he drinks, it changes, sweet and bitter, and he gets confused. So when people see Christian with strife and envy and bitter and all those things, it causes confusion. And verse 17, but, contrast, the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle. What is the opposite of peaceable? Strive, right? So let's make a contrast over here. The wisdom that comes from above, peaceable. The one that comes from the devil is strife. And then the next verse it says, gentle. What is the opposite of gentle? harsh and rude, right? Continuing. And easy to be entreated, full of, what is the next word? Mercy, that comes from above. What is the opposite of full of mercy?
Hatred.
Can we say that mercy is dealing with forgiveness, yes or no?
Yes.
So if you have the earthly wisdom, are you able to forgive?
No.
Okay, continuing. And good fruits, without partiality. In other words, you don't treat the rich better than the poor, or this, perhaps this is a famous person you treat better than the other that is not so famous. No partiality. And without hypocrisy, verse 18, and the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. I want to read a few passages to you over here that comes from the Spirit of Prophecy. Listen very carefully to this one. True Christians, what kind of Christians? So it implies that there is false, right? True Christians will not exalt in exposing the faults and deficiencies of others. They will turn away from vileness and deformity to fix the mind upon that which is attractive and lovely. To the Christian, every act of fault finding, every word of censure or condemnation is painful. Listen to this one. Speaking evil, evil's speaking is a twofold curse, falling more heavily upon the speaker than upon the hearer. He who scatters the seed of dissension and strife reaps in his own soul the deadly fruits. How miserable is the talebearer, the surmiser of evil. He is a stranger to true happiness. So people that is always speaking evil and finding defects in people's character and whatever it is, always criticizing, they are an enemy to true happiness. In other words, they are unhappy. And they don't really know why. But it's because they are constantly speaking evil of people. So back to James. James chapter 3. And the last verse it said there. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace to them that, what is the next two words there? Make peace. What comes to your mind when you hear these words, make peace? What Bible verse? Make peace. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 5, the Beatitudes. In Matthew chapter 5, talk about a group of people that make peace. They are called peacemakers. In Matthew chapter 5 and verse 9. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 9, it says there, blessed are what kind of people? Peacemakers. For they shall be called the, what is the next word? Children of God. So the peacemakers, they are children of God, right? So with that in mind, come with me to John chapter 1, the book of John, chapter 1. John chapter 1 talks about the children of God. And the children of God are peacemakers because they have the wisdom that comes from above. John chapter 1 and verse 12. But as many as receive Him, Jesus Christ, to them gave He power to become what? The sons of God. Can I say the children of God? Yes. To become the sons of God, even to them that believed on His name. So the Bible said, let's put it all together. The Bible said that those who received Jesus Christ in their hearts, they received power to become sons or children of God. And because they received power to be children of God, they are peacemakers. Because they are full of the wisdom that comes from above, from Jesus. Are you following? Okay. So what should be in the mouth of the righteous in the last days? I want you to turn to Proverbs. Actually, what should not be in the mouth of the righteous in the last days? Proverbs chapter 18, verse 6. Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 6. It says there, 18 verse 6, a fool's lips enter into what? Contention. And in his mouth calleth for strokes. 7. A fool's mouth is his destruction, and his lips are the snare of his soul. The words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. So what should not be in the mouth of the righteous? Contention. And sometimes we know that the righteous, he has to stand for the truth. Isn't that right? But what makes the difference? The spirit. The spirit that you get as you protect Jesus Christ. Remember Peter, when he cut off the ear of that soldier, was he protecting Jesus, yes or no? He was, but in the wrong spirit. Okay, turn your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 6 now. Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 16 through 19. These six things does the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him: a proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, an heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief. Verse 19, a false witness that speaketh lie, and he that soweth discord among brethren. That is the last one that he hates. People that sow discord. Sometimes the drunk are told, he is told that he will perish in his sins. Somebody that is smoking, he is told that he will perish in his sins. But how about the one that sow dissension about his brother? But I praise God this morning that there is a Savior. There is a Savior. That's why the Bible is exposing the deceptions of our hearts. Because sometimes we believe that we are always speaking the truth, while our tongue is deceiving our very heart. So go to Proverbs chapter 31. I want you to see what should be in the mouth of the righteous now. Proverbs chapter 31 and verse 26. She, talking about the virtuous woman, she opened her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. The law of kindness. So do you think the righteous will speak with kindness to one another? Amen. Okay, the next verse. Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 1. Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 1. A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. So how does the righteous speak? Soft. And again, when it says a soft answer, it is because what is coming upon you? People are trying to perhaps irritate you or do something that will cause you to speak with them in anger. But the Bible said that you should speak soft words. Only by the grace of God we are able to speak soft words when people are provoking us. But to them that receive him, gave him power to become the children of God. Go to Psalms 145. Psalms 145. Psalms 145 and verse 21. My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever. So what is in the mouth of the righteous? The praises of God, the praises of the Lord. Does it sound like the wisdom that comes from the earth or from above? My friends, I know that the message this morning may challenge us to come to a higher level as we walk with the Lord. I understand that because the Lord has spoken to my heart. And he cannot help us if we continue to lie against the truth. As we speak evil concerning our brothers, about our brothers, as we get in strife and debate and speak with anger and all those things, if we continue to say that everything is all right, that it's okay to speak like that, you are lying against the truth. Therefore, Jesus cannot help you. The first thing is to admit, I am a sinner. Very humble, huh? Very humbly, I am a sinner. I have the wisdom that comes from the earth. I need a savior. I need a helper. So I want you to turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12. It will tell us what is really the matter here. Matthew chapter 12. And I want to begin in verse 33. In verse 33, it says there, in Matthew chapter 12, either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt, for the tree is known by his fruit. Let's start right here and then we proceed. So what Jesus is saying over here is this. If the tree is good, the fruit is good, right? If the tree is corrupt or evil, the fruit is what? Corrupt and evil. In other words, Jesus is going to the heart. Don't try to excuse yourselves when you are speaking evil of people and all those things. Just admit that your heart is evil. And now you can say, Jesus, help me, because if you continue to lie against Jesus, the truth, and yourself, no help from Jesus. It's very simple, huh? Okay, continuing. 34. O generation of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So Jesus goes very straight to the point. Verse 35. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasures bringeth forth evil things. Yes, Jesus is willing to forgive us, to give his forgiveness to everyone that lay his sins upon him. And not only that, he encouraged us to look to him. To look to him to be transformed. Because by beholding we become changes. So I want you to look at Jesus, how he responded under provocation. Come with me to Peter, 1 Peter. First Peter chapter 2. You have Hebrews, James, 1 Peter, chapter 2, and beginning in verse 21. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21, the Bible says there, "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an" what? "Example, that ye should follow his steps." What is this example? Verse 22. "Who did no sin, neither was" what? "Guile found in their mouth." So now you see why the 144,000, the remnant, they have no guile in their mouth, because they are like Jesus. Continuing. Verse 23. "Who," Jesus, "when he was" what? "Reviled, he reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him," the Father, "that judges righteously." 24. "Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins," and this context is evil speaking, reviling, and anger, "should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we are healed." Verse 25. "For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls." We are returned to the shepherds when we lay our sins of evil speaking, in this context, upon Jesus Christ, and behold him as we follow his steps, whose no guile was found in his mouth. So this is my appeal to you. If you found yourself in this situation, that you just found that your heart is evil, Jesus is a master in transforming the heart. May God bless you.